Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'll be your host today. And on behalf of my co-host and son, Zach Clinton, we want to say thank you for making us a part of your day. Hey, we want to be your daily dose of encouragement to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus and to strengthen all of your relationships. Hey, and isn't that what life's all about? To love and be loved. If you are a mom, or if you have a mom, you want to lean in for 20 minutes or so to this interview because this one's for you. I'm excited you've joined us today because you're going to hear from two moms who are doing God's work and ministering to other moms, Becky Thompson and her mom, Susan Pitts. They're here to talk about Midnight Mom Devotional.
Thanks for having us, Dr. Clinton.
Thank you so much.
As we get started, I have a granddaughter. Her name is Olivia Ann, and I'll tell you what, it's fascinating. It's everything we were told it would be and more.
Yes.
Being grandparents, it's beautiful. It's also been a fascinating journey to watch human development all over again.
Yes.
And to hear the stories, the midnight stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about this piece of work that you guys are doing. I already know how much it would mean to my daughter.
Oh, sure. So sweet. Well, what we've realized as, you know, having this ministry for moms is that the midnight hours are some of the loneliest hours. And here's why. This is when all of the fears and uncertainties and really the things that you've done throughout the day that you wish you could do over or things that you wish you could add to your day rise to the surface of a mom's heart, you know, and there's nobody to call and say, oh, can we process this together? Can we talk this out? Everybody's supposed to be asleep, but the little secret is that mamas, most of us, rarely sleep. So, you know, when we sat down to work together, the book is actually based on our online ministry by the same name, Midnight Mom Devotional, where nearly a million moms gather nightly on Facebook to pray. It's really incredible.
Every night?
Every night.
A million moms?
A million moms. So here's what that statistic actually looks like. 18 months ago, we had 20,000 followers on the page, Midnight Mom Devotional, and we would post a simple prayer for moms. You know, tonight we pray for the mama who feels alone. Tonight we pray for the mama who feels overwhelmed or tired or whatever that certain circumstance was. And then, you know, moms would share it. They'd say, this was me tonight. This prayer was for me. I wonder how many other moms feel the same way that I do.
So something legit has to be happening because it's got to be resonating. Otherwise, people aren't going to follow.
Exactly.
Yeah. Talk to me about community, because we know that we're a lonely people. I think the pace and the pressures, and by the way, the pains of modern day life, you know, isolate us, and we're not made to be alone. And so knowing that there's someone out there who, by the way, just understands.
That's it.
And they're able to verbalize maybe what I'm feeling. How important is that? What are you finding?
It's everything, Dr. Clinton. I think this is one thing we're realizing about motherhood is that we're so busy and you feel like you can't reach out horizontally. We know we have access to the Father and through His Son, Jesus, we can reach out in the Spirit and take hold of the truth that God makes available to us through His Word and through His Son. But we need the connection horizontally as well. We need to know that we have vertical connection and horizontal connection, that we can reach out and say, this is what I'm experiencing. And the neat thing about the prayer is that we get to voice the heart of the mother, and then she can have hope attached to it. I'm not just saying, I'm overwhelmed. It's thousands of women saying, I'm overwhelmed. And then they go, well, I'm not the only one. We're all overwhelmed. And if we're all overwhelmed, what does that mean? And what is the anchor of hope? And the truth is, the anchor of hope is Jesus for all of us. But the practical help, well, that looks a little different for all of us.
Are you guys like sharing tips about what to do, or do you see people doing any of that?
What we kind of pride ourselves on with our Facebook page and then through the book is saying, you know, there are a lot of people who can give practical advice and say, you know, you're walking through this specific season. We've got advice for you.
Baby's got colic or something, you know. And
want to know something interesting? I'm a part of a lot of mom groups on Facebook, not just ones that I read and lead, but ones that I sort of kind of exist in, but they don't really know I'm there. I'm just watching different mom groups. And if I need advice about something, I might even post in there. But there's a lot of contention sometimes, you know, in these mom groups, because there is
going at each other, you mean?
Yeah, of course.
Really?
Of course. Yes, sir. Because because there's a right way of doing everything. Oh, there's a right way. And nobody has the right way. Nobody actually knows what the right way is. Of course, professionals get to say what the safest way is. And we listen to those, you know, professionals and that good advice. But the right way? Oh, we all have different right ways, because for each of us, that right way might look a little bit different.
You guys take on some pretty significant issues in your prayers.
That's true.
Like being anxious, mm-hmm. you know, or angry, mm-hmm. or like you were saying, isolated and alone.
We do address the hard places of motherhood as well. Not just the hidden places, but the places that are so hard that they're so hard to even talk about. And we provide a safe place for that. And nightly, the women come by the thousands to share that they have experienced that hard place. And just the fact knowing that someone else has experienced that, we address things such as recent loss, young widows, miscarriage, stillbirth, infant loss, anxiety, depression. We try to address lots of topics that perhaps aren't front center on Sunday mornings, perhaps that aren't brought from, you know, the average pulpit or even in the average mom's group. We go to the really deep places sometimes, but when we go there, we find tens of thousands of women that have been there, and the relief to just know that others have been there, and now we as a community are praying tonight together. It's amazing, and it's powerful, and the prayer is powerful, because that's what we basically do.
We pray.
We are praying mamas.
And, you know, you mentioned these areas, you know, you mentioned the loss and the stillbirth, and you mentioned anxiety and depression and mental health issues and financial issues and all these things. And those aren't typically thought of as motherhood issues. You know, this isn't, I have a preschooler or I have a toddler, or what do I do when I'm in a disagreement with, you know, this other mom? How do I heal that friend? These aren't typically what you think of when you think of motherhood. But I think we all know that a mother's life, it's a 360 view. There's so many other parts that play into her motherhood.
Mm, I love that. When you guys are up online, mm-hmm. and you all are praying, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. take us there. What's it like? I mean, is there a prayer like out of the devotional that you post? I mean, what's going on?
We like to do this in the moment. These are not scheduled out necessarily. A few maybe, but generally speaking, these are not scheduled out. So at 7 o'clock every evening, we start to text. We'll start to say, who are we praying for tonight? Which mama has the Lord laid on your heart today? Because we'll start to pray for that mama.
And this is just a text conversation between the two of us. This isn't something we're posting online. This is...
Oh, this is between the two of you.
This is between the two
of us. I'm sorry.
So you guys are initiating
clear.
Your ministry.
So, yes.
Together. 7 o'clock.
Together.
Yeah, who are we praying for tonight?
Who are we praying for tonight?
Who are we praying for tonight?
Yeah, because that's really what you're doing in the Devo, too. Because
I
was reading through them. You pick a mama.
Yes.
The mom who's deployed.
Yeah. Yes.
I saw that. To the mom, who has horrible anxiety and she's terrified.
Yes. So at 7, we start to text each other and we say, who has the Lord laid on your heart? Has he showed you somebody, kind of given you a heart picture of who you want to pray for tonight? And then one of us will generally know and say, I've been praying for her all day. And so we will compose the prayer, generally speaking, with one mother in mind.
With one person. Sometimes it's a mom that we know in our real life who's going through a situation. And then we take the situation that she is going through specifically and we make it a general prayer for other moms facing the same type of hardship. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we have prototype mom, just a mom that we know that we can pull from and say, we pray for the mom whose husband is working a lot of hours this week. And then we write that prayer, and they're so short. They're just little. They're not long prayers. And the beauty is we address her need. We speak to the Lord and we ask him to meet her need. And then we simply offer peace or hope. We say, Lord, you know what this mom needs in this situation. You know, this isn't some big,
it's just us. We're not a part of a large back office ministry. We are literally the Midnight Mom devotional team. Becky and I. And we do this just as a mother and daughter. Every night at 8:30, we put the prayer online. Right about that time, we'll put the prayer online. And we will sit there, and in astonishment and in praising the Lord, we will watch it, and it will go so fast. It will go to almost 2,000 people liking and sharing on the Facebook community in less than 1 minute or 2 minutes. It will fly. We'll just say, Lord, let your word, let your prayers go out. Let them go out and reach the places where women are not connected yet. And then what I do, and I know what Becky does when she has time, because she's a young mom, but what I do is I will stay. I have a little gingham couch. I call it my gingham prayer couch. I will stay on that couch, and I will just start praying. And the prayer requests will come in. We'll get almost sometimes, I mean, hundreds, and I'll start messages, and I'll just start praying for them as personally as I can.
Wow.
And we'll do that until it slows down.
Becky and I have done a couple of things, interviews before together, and she's known to so many, millions. It must be joy in your heart. But what I like hearing here is I like this multi-generational thing,
yeah,
and how there's a connection that seems to really probably resonate with everybody out there. You hear what I'm saying?
That's right.
Because the two of you talking together and praying together, and people get that. I remember a song, an old hymn, growing up as a boy, My Mother's Prayers Have Followed Me.
Yes.
You know that?
Yes.
And when I think about that, I think everybody out there knows that Mama has been praying for me since I was knee-high.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? And there's something powerful about when women come to pray, not minimizing men, but when women pray.
That's right.
Praying women. I grew up in the country that we'd say this, they'd put the dogs up under the bed, if you know what I mean. Yeah, they do. I mean, because there's something that's going on that resonates at the heart level.
Yeah.
Tell us about Becky growing up real quick.
Oh, great.
I want to hear some of this.
Well, I'll tell you a story about how part of the Midnight Mom got started a little bit was way back in the beginning when I was getting ready to have her and my husband was out of town on a business trip. And so I went to the hospital to have her. Pretty much I was by myself. I was young. My community was back east and I was in Oklahoma. And so I was having this little baby by myself and at the hospital, of course, and everything went well. But I love to tell the story about how after I came home, we were so close to that hospital that I could see the white cross from my back door, and how nightly I would pray for those mamas that might be in that hospital by themselves. So one of the other things I did as a young mom was I would always journal my prayers. And this is one of my favorite Becky stories. When she wrote her first book and she had her first book contract, I went back to the year that she was born and I looked in one of my prayer books and I had prayed that the Lord would make her be able to minister to other moms. She was a baby. She was still inside. I was pregnant, and I prayed that she would have a ministry to women in the hard places.
I'm going to have you start praying for me.
It was so good.
Listen,
she was rambunctious and fun, and she has always had the favor of God on her life. We talk about that all the time. Becky made a little CD when she was in the fourth grade.
Yes,
it's
your
the
mom
truth.
Tell you about you.
She made
you.
I want some more of this stuff.
She was so blessed of the Lord. She made they had an art contest in the state of Oklahoma. And one day she came home, she said, Mama, I'm going to have a billboard. And I said, what, honey? She said, oh, I did something in class and they're putting it on a billboard. So she went to the governor and met the governor's mansion. And we have a picture of her standing outside of her billboard. And this is what her life has been kind of like, that God has favored her in a way that has allowed her to expand her ministry, because we do kingdom work. She does kingdom work, and that's the main thing. Is all this has led to kingdom work for her.
It reminds me of that passage. I think it was Paul writing about Timothy, the unfeigned faith that was first in your grandmother,
yeah,
and then in your mother, and I'm confident is also in you, Timothy.
Amen.
You know that
so
multi-generational
good.
Flow. It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I have a legacy.
That's Deuteronomy 6 work. You know that?
Yeah.
That we really are to be about our faith in such a way that we post it and it influences our children,
yeah,
and our children's children.
That's right.
You know that? Becky, hope is a big word for you. You have a little book on that?
I do have a little book on that.
Talk to us about the significance of hope and young moms and finding our way.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think there's a little quote that I was asked to submit. The publishing house that I'm with was creating a coloring book, which is great. But they said, do you have a little quote that you might want to put in the coloring book that we could kind of make into art? And anyway, long story short, I was driving down the road, and my new book at that time, back in 2016, was called Hope Unfolding. It's still available. It's a great resource for moms. Hope Unfolding. And I thought, what can I incorporate in hope? And it just sort of sprang up in my heart. Hope is best when shared. And I believe that. And it sort of became a motto for my ministry. Hope is best when shared. And what I mean by that is, if you have a belief that things won't always be the way they are right now, and in motherhood, that's important for a couple of reasons. We need to know that we need to embrace the moment that we're in because they're going to change. But also, when we're in the hard places, that we're not stuck in those moments forever, that we can eventually sort of lead up out of them, that we can share that hope with others. We can say, this is what I believe to be true. This is what I'm standing on today. And we can invite other women, other moms, other people in other seasons of life, or similar seasons of life, to stand on that common hope. So I think hope is best when shared, and I think hope is important because if you have hope, you really have everything you need for tomorrow.
Yeah. So coming back to this issue of praying, there's hope in it.
Yes.
Because it's like, okay, we get to go to the throne of grace and ask God to be in our moment.
Yeah.
That I'm not alone, even though I may feel alone, even though it may be 1:40 in the morning or 3 a.m. And I've got a fevered child and it's been rough.
Yes.
God, help me, speak to me, you know that? Mm-hmm. And going to a community where I'm getting reinforcement.
Yes.
Talk to me about the faith element and how women are going there, you know, that through your Facebook page, through the Midnight Devotional.
You know, one thing about all of this, Dr. Clinton, is that we want to connect women to the heart of the Father. We want to connect women into a relationship with the Lord that might not previously have any experience in having a relationship with the Lord. They haven't been taught how to pray. Maybe their moms haven't taught them how to pray.
Exactly.
Maybe they don't have grandmothers who taught them how to pray.
Or they could be in a place where they don't feel very pretty before God.
That's right.
There may be some stuff, you know, that Richard Foster in his classic book on prayer, one of the lines I took from that book was, he said, one of the greatest deterrents to an active prayer life is the belief that all has to be right in order to pray.
Right. And, you know, Mom shared something very recently with me about this idea, and that is that sometimes we put prayer in such a small box. It has to look like this. I have to be alone. I have to have this type of mindset. I need to say these words first before I say anything else before the Lord. And really, sometimes our being is a prayer. Sometimes we can have a communication with God or a conversation with God because He hasn't left the room. We don't have to have this whole grand word choice. We can just say, I know you're here and I really need your help. You know, I know you're with me, God. Lord, I don't like the way I've been acting. I don't like what I've been doing. Can you just help? Can you help?
I always feel like my life is a prayer. I don't know how to explain it, except when I sigh before the Lord, it's a prayer. When I sing, it's a prayer. When I am doing my dishes and thinking and praying to the Lord, it's a prayer. Part of just our motherhood is an act of prayer that we live being mindful of the Lord.
And so we try to invite women into a broader understanding of how they can communicate with the Lord so freely and so openly, and how Jesus, through His love and sacrifice and then resurrection, made that available. And so taking prayer outside of this box of how it has to look and how it has to be has brought freedom to the hearts of mothers to remember that the resource that they really need is right there in the room with them, and they can always ask Him for help or hope or encouragement or support in any season, in any situation.
I love what you say about just being continually in an attitude of prayer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And actually believing that God is there for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let me throw one more piece out here before we go away, and that is to the young mom who is discouraged, who feels like her prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. She's trying, and it's not connecting, and she feels terribly disconnected. And it's like, I want this and I'm trying and I'm lost. What do you say to her?
We remind her that the God who loves her never leaves her. And that she might not hear Him in the way that she wanted to hear Him answer. She might not have that clear direction or that clear hope or that clear insight or wisdom or whatever it is that she's been after, but that God is as close as her breath and he holds her. And there isn't one word that she's ever spoken that he's missed, that he has caught every word and every tear and every sigh, and he loves her.
Amen.
And even when she doesn't feel or hear him like she has in previous seasons, that he hasn't abandoned her, and he has hope for her and a future for her. And it won't always be the way it is right now. And she will have seasons when she hears him clearly and the sun shines on her heart and she looks back and sees what he was doing in this quiet season of life.
That was Becky Thompson from the Midnight Mom Devotional Online Community with her mom, Susan Pitts. To find out more about how you can join into the evening prayer with other moms, just go to midnightmomdevotional.com. That's midnightmomdevotional.com. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. And on behalf of my son and co-host, Zach Clinton, I want to thank you for joining us. See you tomorrow. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Don't underestimate the power of one small, repeated step. A man once came to me desperate to overhaul his life. We started with him trying to do 5 minutes of walking a day. Why? Because transformation doesn't come from overhauls. It comes from micro-consistency. Big change almost always starts smaller than we expect. Clinically, small habits compound into big outcomes. Spiritually, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Do not despise these small beginnings." God delights in seeds, not just trees. Tiny decisions can become life-changing shifts over time. So pick one 5-minute habit this week. Prayer, movement, journaling, silence. Stick to it daily and watch what God builds from small obedience. This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit aacc.net.